Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Today we're going to talk about that very thing in the kingdom of God that casts out all fear. And if you know what I'm talking about, go ahead and put it in the chat. That thing in the kingdom of God, Pastor Jessica was just praying that we would not be afraid, exhorting us. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation, do not be afraid. So there is something in the kingdom of God that casts out all fear from our lives. That's what we're going to be talking about today. It is something in the kingdom of God that the Bible says covers a multitude of sin. Anybody know what that is yet? Put it in the chat. This beautiful thing in the kingdom of God, the Bible says, is poured out in our heart by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5. One of my favorite verses. This thing in the kingdom of God, I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. I know you know what it is. This thing is said to be equated with God himself. It is God himself. And so the title of my message today is called The Most Essential Essential. The Most Essential Essential. And this essential is, come on, let's say it all together, love. Love. Love casts out all fear. It's poured out in our hearts. Amen. So let's just chew on this and get it deep in our hearts today. And I find the timing for this so interesting. We totally didn't plan this, but we just finished a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God always wants to keep the gifts real close to love. We know this because in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, those are the big chapters that tell us all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, healing, speaking in tongues, power. But what is chapter 13, right in between 12 and 14? What is that chapter? That is the most famous chapter on love. All of a sudden, the Apostle Paul gets so poetic and begins to describe what love is. And I find it so interesting. We just got done studying all the gifts, and today we're studying on love. Love. God is just so amazing. So I would like to read 1 Corinthians 13. And here's another cool thing. A week from yesterday, so not yesterday, but the previous Wednesday, Pastor Jessica gave the entire staff homework. You remember that? Gave us homework. 1 Corinthians, guess what? 13. And so there is just something in the house of God. He's saying, come back to love. Remind yourself of love. Feed yourself on this also. Amen. So I would like to read this in the Passion Translation because sometimes when you hear the same old, it becomes trite and meaningless. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read the whole thing, ladies. And this is good for us to just the reading of the word. Amen. So let's read this together. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. It don't matter if you speak good. You got to have love. Amen. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, wow, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. It's nothing. Amazing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. This is very sobering. All of our good works, the Bible says, will pass through the fire. And if it's made of hay, wood, and stubble, it's going to burn up. How do we know what will remain? Was the motive pure love, or was it to look good? Oh, in heaven, we will know. It'll all come out. And if it wasn't because you love the people and you love God, it'll burn up and you will not get any reward. Amen? So sobering. Verse 4, Love is large and incredibly what? Patient. First on the list, love is patient, love is kind. First on the list, love is patient. Pastor Jim did a message years ago about patience. It is the mark of spiritual maturity, the mark of a spiritually mature person. They are very, very patient. Amen. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. I want to back up to patience real quick. Patience means waiting with a good attitude. Not waiting like, okay, I am being so patient right now. No, that's not patience. That's waiting. Patience is waiting with a good attitude. Oh, Lord. Okay, this is such a beautiful chapter, and yet my heart is just toe up. You know, the sword is going to work. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Can anyone say ouch? Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Ouch. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. You love that person. You take the benefit of the doubt. Amen. Love joyfully celebrates honesty. Yay, they were honest. That's what God does. God is love. He celebrates when we are honest with him and finds no delight in what is wrong. We're not going to laugh at that stuff. Even if it's making us chuckle, we're going to say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Someone is suffering and going down the drain of sin with that evil. I'm not going to find delight in that. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Think of a love of a mom for her kids. You love that child. You do not give up. Is that right? You just don't give up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. Now listen, I don't want to downplay prophecy here. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul was like, I wish you all would prophesy. This is so powerful. It's so useful. Okay, let's keep reading. It eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues. And again, let's speak in tongues. It's so healthy. It builds us up. But even tongues will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. That doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're partial. Would you rather be completely blind and not know anything what's going on? Or would you have at least one eye open? That's like prophecy. God's giving us a peek into what's coming. Amen? So it is a good thing. But the point here is that when love's, verse 10, but when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. There's coming a day we'll have both eyes open. Amen? Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured, and I set aside my childish ways. So people are so amazed by the spiritual gifts. Like, wow, that's so mature. And the Apostle Paul is saying, no, actually, what's super, super mature is love. Love. We're going to look back and be like, wow, the gifts were awesome. But that was like, in comparison with what's coming, it's like kid stuff. Amen. Let's put it all in perspective, okay? So eventually, let's keep reading. This is what it's telling us where we're going. It says, verse 12, for now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries as though reflected in a mirror. Mirrors in ancient times were kind of blurry and fuzzy. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. And you know, I just want to make a little comment. Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. There is a blessing for having faith in the Lord, and we don't see everything clearly. Amen? So we're actually in a season where when we believe and we don't see the whole picture, there's great rewards, the Bible says. Okay, that was a little side. Verse 13, until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. We're running after love. That's our main goal, the most essential. And actually, that last little portion in the Passion Translation is actually 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let's see that in the NKJV. 1 Corinthians 14:1, in your regular Bibles, this is what it says: pursue love, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then it goes on in chapter 14, talking about prophecy and tongues. But today, can we pursue love? Let's pursue it today. Let's get into this and study it. Oh, Lord, that you would impart your love into our hearts today. Amen. All right. Let's look really briefly. There's just some beautiful verses on love. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. If you have your Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn there? Ephesians 3, just so you can make a note. I mean, these are just some of my favorite verses. Thank you, Lord. I'll give you just a moment. Ephesians 3. And if you're at home, just pull that right up there. BibleGateway.com. I'm just putting in a little plug. I love that website. You can search any verse and you can search any topic. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Let's read. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a prayer of the Apostle Paul he was having for all the churches he started. He was saying, I just want you to know God's love. And notice it starts with, hey, you're already rooted and grounded in love. You're secure. You're like, yeah, I know God loves me. I'm rooted and grounded. I am confident. He's saying, okay, now keep going. You might be confident in God's love. Keep going. I want you to understand how wide, how big. Come on, let's really tap into the limits. What is his love like? You know, I took this out of my notes, but I just feel to say it. Isaiah 66, he loves us like a mother. Psalm 103, he loves us like a father. Song of Solomon, a whole book, he loves us like a treasured bride. Those are all massive topics that we could study and understand the love of God. Amen. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, hallelujah. We got to just know his love and study every facet. There's so many facets to his love. The blood of Jesus, another facet of his love. Praise God. Let's dig into some scripture about the love of God. Are we ready? Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Just turn there again. I think this might be a spot you might want to just make a little note in your Bible. Highlight that in your little phone Bible. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, 6 through 7. This is some scriptures the Lord had given to me at the beginning of this year to study out. And just in time for today, just in the perfect timing. Praise God. Song of Solomon 8, 6 through 7. Now the Lord is causing us to relate natural physical things that we know in our life to his love so that we understand it. Jesus taught with parables. He said spiritual things are kind of like this natural thing so that we could understand it a little bit more. He was always tying in spiritual things that you kind of couldn't get a grasp on with natural things. So that's what's happening here in Song of Solomon. Let's read it. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. We're going to break this down and see what God is showing us. Amen. He wants us to dig into these natural things. The first thing he talks about in verse 6 is a seal. And this is actually a prayer that we can incorporate into our lives for the Lord. God, set me as a seal upon your heart and as a seal upon your arm. Can we get a picture of a seal? This is a very common object of possession in the ancient world. Most men, I would wager, had a seal because they find so many of them in the Middle East in ancient times. This was to seal any kind of a trade. I'll give you 50 goats for a bag of silver. Okay, they would both put their seal on that. It was written in stone and on a clay tablet, and that was how it was like their ID. And so let's look at the next picture of seals. They would wear it around their neck, or they would tie it to their arm. They wanted it handy. Maybe their hands were too dirty. They didn't want to pull it out, so they would just put it on their arm, stamp it. Okay, this was something super common that back then everyone would have understood what a seal is. Oh, so when they read in Song of Solomon, the beautiful bride saying, set me as a seal upon your heart. Well, all the men had seals around their neck. As a seal upon your arm. Well, all the men knew what that was. And she's saying, that's what I want. I want to be close to you. I want to be close to you. Amen. I just want to show you, in the Bible, it does talk about a seal. That Judah had a seal. And he went to Tamar, and I'm not going to explain this story to you because I want you to study it out. Judah went to Tamar and said, hey, she's dressed looking a little like a prostitute. Yes, they had them thousands of years ago. And he said, I want to come into you and, let's do our business. And she said, what will you give me in order to basically sleep with me? And he said, I will give you a goat in exchange for what you're going to do. And she said, okay, that's fine. What are you going to leave with me? You know how you have to leave your driver's license sometimes so you can run and go get your wallet and then come back, okay? So this is the pledge. And so this is Genesis 38, 18. Judah says, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand. The signet is a seal. It's that thing that he was already trafficking in sheep and goats. That was his seal. Everybody knew. Oh, that's Judah. Yeah, that's Judah's seal right there. He leaves it with her and his cord and his staff. Everything everybody knew belonged to him. If they were to see it, oh, yeah, we know who that belongs to. Nobody has a staff like that, okay? So the signet and cord was either around his neck or around his arm. Amen. I just want to show you, this is something that by the time of Solomon, this was like a wallet. Like men have wallets, okay? So God is saying love is like this thing that is in your everyday life. In your everyday life. Now, the outcome of this, you're like, that is such a strange story. Let me just tell you, by the end of the story, Tamar, the woman, was considered extremely righteous, and she was praised for what she did, and she ended up being in the lineage of the Messiah, one of only a couple ladies. So I just, you know what God does? This is a little aside, little parentheses. He makes you curious. He puts something out there to see if you will, like Moses did, turn aside. He saw the burning bush, and the Bible says Moses turned aside. What if he had not turned aside? What if he wasn't so curious to find out what was going on? He would not have had that encounter with God. So God constantly puts little things in our path to pique our curiosity to see if we will make the effort to seek it out. And then he can give us his pearls, because he will not cast his pearls before swine. Amen, ladies? Amen. So that's Genesis 18. If you want to read the whole story, many of you know it because we've taught on it here. But if you are new to the Bible, that's a very interesting story. Praise God. So the Lord is teaching us that a prayer that we can have is, Lord, set me as a seal upon your heart and upon your arm. The heart has to do with his love and his passion. God, keep me close to your love. How many have that desire today? God, keep me close to your love. God, keep me close to your passion. And on your arm, that has to do with the mighty acts of God. Lord, I want to participate with you when you're doing your mighty acts on the earth. Amen? I want to be close to your love and close to what you're doing on the earth today. Set me, Lord. Set me. The Lord reminded me of Psalm 91:14. God himself is speaking. He's saying, because she has set her love upon me. I'm turning this to the feminine. Because she has set her love upon me, therefore I will deliver her. See, we're saying, Lord, set me on you. And God is saying, no, you had set yourself on me. Amen? So we have our part. We're saying, Lord, I'm setting my love upon you. But we don't trust our own strength. We don't trust our own love. We might stray. We might let go. I'm setting my love on you. But God, my prayer is, set me upon your heart like a seal. Tie me to your arm. Set me, oh Lord God. And this is the principle that happened with the man who was asking for his son to be healed. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And so we're saying, Lord, we love you. Help us and set us. Make us permanent. You see, because Peter said, oh, I'll always be with you, Jesus. I'll stick with you so close. Even if everybody else leaves you, I won't. And what happened? He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Somebody started questioning him. He's like, well, I don't know Jesus. I don't know who he is, right? And every time we say, Lord, I just love you so much, we have to be like Peter and say, you know my heart. Remember Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was like, Lord, you know I like you. He was humbled. He knew he just didn't have it. He thought he loved God. And so it's both. We say, Lord, I set my love upon you. And God is saying, it's okay to pray. Set me close to your heart. Does that make sense today, ladies? Praise God. Lord, we just need you to keep us close. We need you to keep us close. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Song of Solomon 8. This amazing passage the Lord highlighted to me. It says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Death. Oh man, I got my points mixed up. I had that as number three. Sorry guys, in the back. Love is strong as death, cruelty and jealousy as cruel as the grave. This is something that was not known only in ancient times. This is something that we know today. And you know what it's like when someone you love passes away and you're just getting used to it. And you wake up one day and you think they're still there. And then it hits you again. Oh my gosh, they're gone. And I don't mean to harm your heart or twist a painful area in your heart, but I feel God is saying, my love is like that. You might forget that I love you, but then all of a sudden you're gonna remember, oh yeah, God loves me. And instead of heartache, you're gonna feel relief. Amen. That's how God's love is like death. Amen. God's saying it's so permanent. And pretty soon, when someone passes away, you just kind of get used to it. You have a new normal. You adjust your life. And it just becomes, you get used to it. Listen, when we realize how much God loves us, We just start to get used to it. It becomes our new normal. It's rooted and grounded in love. I'm confident we get used to it. Amen. God is so good. He is tying his love to our everyday experiences and saying, listen, my love is kind of like death. It's so permanent. It'll never, ever, ever, ever change. No matter how bad you wish that person could come, nothing will bring that person back. And as Pastor Jessica said, we will see them again. But his love is the same way. Nothing, nothing, no sin, nothing. We're going to read that later on. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next. Love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Okay, his love is like not just any fire, a most vehement flame. Actually, let's keep reading. It keeps talking about his love. Verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. Talking about that fire, it doesn't matter. It's going to burn and burn and burn. Amen. This is something that in the Middle East, they're going to know about this fire because this is the land of crude oil and petroleum. And they knew about fires that lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted. Millennium. I want to show you a couple pictures. So God is hitting very close to this culture. Let's look at the burning rocks of Kaimera, Turkey. This is in Turkey. Looks kind of small there, but that has been burning for 2,500 years at least. The Greeks built a temple near it and considered it sacred. Chimera itself is a name of, you know, Greek mythology. It's some kind of fire-breathing animal or something. Next, in Iraq, Baba Gurbur, okay, which means father of fire. This thing has been burning. It looks kind of small there too, but they suggest that this is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego may have been thrown. This might have been that fiery furnace. It's near Kirkuk in Iraq. It has been burning for an estimated 4,000 years. So when God is telling Solomon, love is like fire, an unending flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot overwhelm it. They're like, yeah, we've seen that a few times around here. Amen. I live near the apple fire, where the apple fire was. We could see that thing glowing at night, and we could see the smoke during the day, and it just felt like forever. Like, there is still there. And it was only a few days. Imagine you see that glowing your whole life. And all your grannies and great-grandparents, they saw that. And it's just so, it just leaves an impression upon you. Amen. In 1991, I just want to talk a little bit more about fire. In 1991, Kuwait had over 600 oil wells set on fire by Iraq. They were in war. Can we show those fires? They burned for almost a year, and it took over $1 billion to put it out because it would have gone longer. All right? I want to read a newspaper article from that time. This is a famous gentleman who lives in Houston named Red Adair. There was a movie made about him. Anybody ever see the John Wayne movie Hellfighters from 1968? Anyway, that was him. I saw one hand, okay. This is about this guy, and he got sent to Kuwait in 1991, February 26, 1991, LA Times. Famed oil fighter Red Adair took a call from President Bush on Monday and prepared for the biggest job of his career, fighting hundreds of oil fires in war-ravaged Kuwait. Temperatures in areas close to an oil fire can reach 200 degrees. It gets so hot it melts the sand, said Adair, who was portrayed by actor John Wayne. It's like stepping on melted glass, even 100 feet from the well. It can burn the soles of your shoes. The burning wells are 100 miles from the sea, and that water must be piped in to cool sand. Not to put out the fire. That water won't put out that fire. It is to cool the sand, the equipment, and the workers. About 10,000 to 15,000 gallons of water a minute will be needed at each site, over 600 of them. This was a massive endeavor. Faced with flames soaring 300 to 400 feet skyward, firefighters in protective clothing will have to use large handheld tin shields to approach the wells. Booms will be deployed to set off explosives to cut off oxygen to the fire. So a boom would go out, hang some TNT or dynamite or something, and make an explosion right above that fire, and it would blow it out and take away the oxygen. It is estimated that it will cost between $1 billion and $1.5 billion to return the oil wells to production. As many as half a dozen major oil service companies have signed contracts with the Kuwaitis to rebuild oil facilities. The firefighting contracts provide for payments of $600 to $700 per day of support personnel. That's like the secretaries get that much. And $1,500 to $1,700 per day for firefighters. They're getting big bucks because this is a huge, scary, dangerous job. Remember what God said his love is like? Fire. This kind of a fire. This kind of a fire. Henry and Adair's firm charges a basic fee of $5,000 a day, but hinted that the Kuwaitis are paying about four times that amount. They're getting about $20,000 A day, and it took them months. This was a huge endeavor. And I just want to show one last picture. This is what they look like. Do you see the little guy there holding his shield? And I just want to give us a visual. Solomon knew about this. And he's like, your love is like that? God, your love is like that? Oh my gosh. Your love is like a fire. Let's look again. I want you to look in your Bibles. Song of Solomon 8. Love is as strong as death. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love. And as we're here in the sanctuary, I just want us to know his fire is before us. His fire is before us. His love is here. He's constantly, day and night, never stopping. That's the kind of love that he has for us. It is unending, and it is completely overwhelming. Overwhelming. The last item that we read in Song of Solomon 8. Is this good, ladies? His love is so awesome. It's so awesome. Let's look one more time. Song of Solomon 8, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. Now listen. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. It's kind of a riddle. We're going to break it down. So we talked about a seal. Love is like a seal. Love is like death. Love is like a fire. And now we're talking love is kind of like money. Money. And so if a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. And it's kind of like this. If a millionaire has a child, a beloved daughter, she's such a cutie, and she has a life-threatening illness, there is a medical procedure that would cure her, but it would cost him every penny. He would have to pay all his millions. He would do it with no hesitation. Let's say a newspaper reporter comes up to him and says, wow, you spent a lot of money to save your daughter's life. That millionaire would think about that and be like, I despise that money. I despise that money. I have my daughter. I can see her run around. I can see her smile. I can see her grow. Does that make sense? In comparison to money, when you love someone so much, it's nothing. You despise it. Amen? So that's what that is saying. Love is like fire. Hallelujah. You know, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to just share a personal testimony. God wants us to be reminded of his love. You know, in ancient times, every time they saw fire, they would say, oh, that's how God loves me. Every time they would look at their seal, they would say, that's where I am on God's arm. I'm on his heart. It was a constant reminder. And ladies, we need to let the Lord show us things in our everyday life to remind us of his love. Isn't that right? What would be the modern day parables of his love. I don't know. You think about it. It's your journey with the Lord. And I'm going to share one of mine. It's a little embarrassing, but I feel God wants me to share it, okay? So I was in a season where God was showing me his love. And it was like first love. It was like what psychologists call puppy love, okay? It was just, you know, you just catch yourself smiling. You're just loving the Lord. You're catching his love. And everywhere I went, the color pink was like him winking at me, like, huh? I love you. So pink was just this like color of love to me during that time. But this is so important. It might sound silly, but this is what we see in the Bible. He wants us to have living things around us. You know, Jesus talked about the sower, agriculture, sheep, coins, so that when these things, they would stumble across it in their life, they would be reminded, oh yeah, okay? So the Lord spoke to me one day really clearly. I want you to go to Salvation Army. I was like, yippee, because I love thrift store shopping. I'm grounded from that now. The Lord's like, no, you're having a poverty mentality. No more of that. So, okay, I'm in a season where I can't do that. But at that time, he was like, I want you to go to Salvation Army. I'm like, yes, Lord. I walk in and I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit. And I feel him directing me towards this back corner. I'm like, all right. You know, when you feel God, when you hear God clearly, I get happy. Like, I can hear you so clearly. I love this. You know, there's times it's not that clear. And so I go, and I'm like, okay, oh, God, I know you have something for me here. Ladies, I found this long, fuzzy robe. Guess what color? Light pink, brand new, tag still on it, Liz Claiborne, fluffy as could be, brand new, unused. And I was like, oh, my gosh, no one has found this yet. I bought it. And I left the store, which is also a miracle because you know you got to spend like hours in a thrift store. I just bought that one thing, bought it, and left, just like a guy shopping, you know? Do you know, every time I put on my pink robe, what am I feeling? I am feeling a hug around me. I am feeling his love. Okay, so that's kind of silly and, you know, maybe for you, but it just reminded me every day. You know, when you have those hard days, you know, that time of the month, I would just go get my pink robe, put it on me. You love me, Lord. Your tender, loving compassion is around me. Amen. Let's go on these journeys with the Lord. Amen. Can we just give him praise? You're so fun. You're so kind and sweet. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8, 38 to 39. I'm going to grab my prop real quick. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why I'm saying that fire is always there. That fire is always there before us. But what happens? Why are we not experiencing it? There is a blockage between us and God's love. How many of you have noticed that? Like, I know in my head you love me. It just doesn't seem real. I'm not feeling it. There is some kind of a blockage. We just read, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So what's going on? The only thing the devil can do to affect us is a lie. So there are lies that block us from God's love. Can we expose those right now? Let's expose some lies. He's such a liar. And we're going to do what Jesus did. We're going to come up with the word of God to combat that thing. Number one, the lie of unbelief. I don't think I'll experience it. I just don't think I'll experience God's love. I'll seek and seek and seek and just never feel his love because I've tried. It won't happen. There's no longer an expectation. It's like, okay, yeah, but we're not really expecting to receive his love. It's unbelief We just don't think we're going to really receive God's love. This is a lie. And this is what we need to do when we start to feel like, I just don't think I'm going to feel God's love. Here's what we need to say. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Of course, you're coming to him, so you believe he exists. But you also got to believe what? That he rewards those who seek him. So if you seek him, he's going to reward you with his love. You will receive his love. You got to believe that. God, if I seek you, I know you will reward me with your love. He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. We've got to believe it. And we tell the devil, I know if I seek God, he will reward me. Amen? Let's keep that in our back pocket. This is like sword moves. This is our sword. This is the word of God. We just say, I know if I seek the Lord diligently, he will reward me and fill my heart. Number two, the lie of shame. I'm too bad to experience it. I'm too bad. Maybe it's some recent mistake. You stumbled in some area. All right, let's look. What's our sword move? Let's chop off a head, okay? Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, come on, say it with me, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I just have another little story. I was leading 40 days of prayer right here, 40 days of prayer, 7 a.m. One morning I woke up and I felt like the biggest screw up. I don't know what I had done. I just felt like I let God down. You know those days I'm like, oh, I did it again. I don't even know. And I'm getting ready to come and lead prayer, and it's like, oh, okay, yes, God forgives me, no condemnation. And then I would just fall back into it like, oh, God, I really messed up. And so the Lord was just showing me the blood of Jesus washes you. The blood of Jesus washes you. It's more powerful than any sin or mistake you could have made. And, you know, us ladies, we have these little things we know the Lord is not wanting us to do. Maybe it's not alcohol or smoking anymore. Maybe it's not flirting, sleeping around, anything like that. But maybe we ate something. God has been saying, that's not for you. It's not good for you. And we just ate a big, you know, playful, whatever. Or maybe it's something we're watching on TV, and God's like, mm-mm. And you just are like, oh, you just stay there and watch it. Okay, so those are the things our conscience feels like, ugh. I messed up, I blew it, or we yell at our kids, you know, and we're just like, oh, I did it again. So I was struggling with that. How can I lead this prayer meeting, you know? And maybe I have a thing with clothes, I don't know, but I was like, I'm going to wear a red shirt, and every time I see my arm, every time I see myself, it's going to be like, the blood covers me, the blood covers me, the blood. Maybe it's just that creative, like, streak in me. So I come with my red shirt, and I know this sounds so pathetic, but I was like, God, yes, see, the blood is covering me. And I was like hanging on to that. I was hanging on to it. The blood covers me. I'm covered. I'm cleansed. I'm washed. I come and there were two people already here, and they were both wearing red shirts. Both wearing red shirts. I mean, that could be coincidence, but I was like, guys, God has just been like showing me afresh the blood and how it cleanses us, you know? And through those doors, Mariela came through, and guess what she was wearing? A red shirt. Now, four out of four. And, okay, so maybe it's coincidence, but I just felt like God was saying, don't you ever doubt. Don't you ever doubt. My blood cleanses you. My blood cleanses you. And it was just like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So that's my little story, again, about clothing, you know. Praise God. May we never fall into the lie of shame. Satan, you're such a liar. There is no sin that sticks to me. The blood of Jesus washes me. You do what you need to do. You got to wear a red shirt. You got to wear red from head to toe. You got to take communion. You got to, whatever it is, you know, put blood on your door posts. I mean, not real blood, obviously. I put a red piece of paper on my doorpost during quarantine, y'all, okay? Not because I'm superstitious. That was a message to the devil, okay? Let's put into practice these things. This is of God. Jesus did not teach without a parable. Let's put it into some physical things, amen? Number three, the lie of religion. The lie of religion says, it could be dangerous. It could be dangerous to feel God's love. It could become emotionalism. You don't want to feel too much. That's what religion is going to tell you. I love the Rock Church. Spirits of religion cannot hang around here because we tell spirits of religion to go to hell. That's what we do around here. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Amen. And it's so awesome. My husband just preached this last night. Oh, taste and see. Do not be afraid of just, you know, weeping, or just say, Lord, fill me to the uttermost with your love. Number four, the lie. This is so funny. I'm doing my notes, and I just kept feeling like it. There's more than three lies. There's more than three lies. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what's the last one? I'm opening my heart to you. And the Lord speaks the lie of drunkenness. And I said, okay, that's not the Lord. Lord, what is this last point, Lord? I'm thinking crazy things. And there it comes again, the lie of drunkenness. So I put it down, like, okay, that is the Lord. Explain this to me, Lord. What are you saying? And he said, escaping is better than God's love. This is a lie. So we have God raining down waterfalls of love on us, and we're not feeling it because we keep going to other stuff thinking, I think Netflix binging is going to just make me feel so much better. So we're not getting God's love. I think eating this thing, whatever it is, your no-no, is going to just make me feel so much better. We are not taking the time to receive God's love. It is a blockage. This is the lie of drunkenness. Are we getting drunk on other things? Maybe it is alcohol. Maybe you're saying alcohol is just going to fill me and make me feel so good. No, 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 no. God's love will fill you and make you feel punch drunk just on his love. Amen? What scripture are we going to use? Now, there are so many scriptures. There's just so many. There are so many good ones. But Jesus only needed one to talk to the devil. Remember that? When he was tempted, he used one scripture. So we're just doing one. Matthew 13, 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. What's the deceitfulness of riches? Pleasure. Pleasure. Maybe shopping will just make me feel so good. So either you're anxious about things or you're just, you know, gluttony. You're just getting into like, I want to do things that make me feel good. It chokes out the word and you become unfruitful. This is a blockage. When we get too into worry, or we get too into, sometimes it's just having a real critical conversation. You know, oh, this, you just find something to criticize. Maybe it's President Trump or, you know, your some family member or something. Oh, I can't believe she did that. You know, and you're just going on and on. Do you know that just, it's a pleasure. Gossip is a pleasure point. But what's happening? It's taking your time and it's choking out time. You could be like, let's stop this and let's just spend a little time with the Lord and receive his love. Remember, it's a fire that is always there. It's constantly there. So for me, sometimes it is shopping. You know, there's just like this uncomfortable feeling inside. And what I'm needing is just a dose of the love of God, just to return to it. And I'm like, let me just get some shopping done. You know, and you look at the pretty things and you smell the room, you know, fragrance sprays. And you're just, it's nice. And I'm not saying like Pastor Jessica was saying, it's not sin, but it is an umbrella. It's blocking time and choking out time when we could just be like, ah, under the waterfall, under the waterfall. Thank you, Jesus. Can I just have Jared come on out? Let's draw near to the Lord. Let's draw near to the Lord. Maybe the Lord is already speaking to you about what lie you've been embracing. What's been blocking you from really receiving from God's love? I love how Pastor Dan has us meditate for just a moment and write it down. I want us to ask the Lord right now and just say, Lord, your love is a vehement flame, burning constantly for me. What barrier do I need to remove? Maybe I'm just too busy. Maybe I'm feeling like I'm not good enough. God, what is it? Maybe it is the lie of unbelief. It just doesn't seem like it's gonna ever happen. But Lord, we stand on your word that if we seek you, you will reward us. You will reward us. Oh, Father God. Lord, I pray right now you would come like rain. And if you're there in your house or wherever you're listening from, just open your heart right now. Just open your heart and say, Lord, rain upon me. In the spirit, rain on my dry and thirsty heart. God, show me how much you love me. Help me to appreciate those little details you've been bringing to my life, showing me that you love me. I'm not even noticing. Highlight those things, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment and just say, I'm opening my heart to you, Lord. We sang it today. I open up my heart to you, Lord. Just like rain, rain on dry ground, rain on dry ground. Can we sing that? We receive your rain.
Receive your rain
right now.
We receive your rain.
Oh.
We receive.
Psalm 42, verse 7 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Lord, open up the floods of heaven right now, I pray. Let's take just a few minutes. Can we just set aside like 3 minutes? Just like 3 minutes to drink. Lord, let your waterfall from heaven be opened upon us, O Lord God. Let your waterfall, Lord, let the deep of your heart call to the deep in our soul and in our spirit. Let deep call to deep today, O Lord God. We stand under the waterfall of your love. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that one more time.
receive your rain
with open hearts today.
We receive your rain.
Oh, by faith,
we receive your rain.
Deeper on, deeper on. Oh,
we receive.
You said, remain in my love. Let us walk in this to the rest of this day. Just stay in this atmosphere, in this cloud of your affection and your love. I feel the Lord is saying importance. Importance. You have high importance to me. You are my treasure, he says. And don't let any other messages from this world tell you otherwise. You have importance to me, says Lord God Almighty, Jesus the King. You have importance to me. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.